Welcome to the Christchurch Manchester Theology Podcast. The CCM School of Theology meets monthly on Saturday mornings at Luther King House in Manchester. For more information about the training that we offer or about our church in Manchester, please visit www.christchurchmanchester.com. My home is not on this earth, not in this world. Hello, everybody. So my name is Lizzie. My husband Tom and I, we lead the Gorton site of Christchurch Manchester. Tom works full-time for the NHS, and I've just recently started working a couple of days a week for CCM to give us a little bit more capacity to lead Gorton. We've got three kids. My youngest is about to start high school. We really love hanging out with them and are really enjoying this stage of their lives, partly because they get up later. I'm not enjoying the fact that they stay up later as well. We have no evenings anymore, but we love it. We love having kids. Now, I deeply desire to grow in my prayer life, and I'm really passionate about encouraging the church to pray too. But at this point, I do need to let you into a little secret. It's to do with an organisation called 24/7 Prayer. Has anyone heard of it? Yeah, lots of nods. So if you haven't, 24/7 Prayer is a movement that was founded by a chap called Pete Gregg. Let me just read to you what it says on the website about 24/7 Prayer. It says, 24/7 Prayer is an international, interdenominational prayer movement with a vision to revive the church and rewire the culture through non-stop night and day prayer. We started in 1999 when a simple student-led prayer vigil went viral, and groups all over the world joined in to pray. Now, over two decades later, thousands of communities have taken part in 24/7 prayer in churches, communities, and cities over half the countries of the earth. It's incredible, isn't it, what 24/7 prayer has done. Now, in 1999, I was a student in Chichester. Now, I know you may find it difficult to believe that I was even alive then, but I was. And just like CCM has a student site that meets at this church, I was part of a student site of a church called Revelation, and I became part of the leadership team there. And it just so happened that whilst I was part of this church, which a chap called Pete Gregg led, one evening we had a leadership team meeting where Pete suggested it would be a really good idea if we could hold a week of prayer where students were encouraged to pray night and day and sign up for slots of time. And everybody was very enthusiastic about this idea, apart from me. And I looked around the room and I could see nods of heads and people, you know, making positive noises. And I couldn't believe my ears. All these people thinking that students would be up for getting up in the middle of the night to go and pray. So in the meeting that basically kicked off the 24/7 prayer movement across the world that's encouraged thousands of communities to pray, 20-year-old me said out loud, and not just in my head, I don't think it will work. And that I just couldn't imagine students getting up in the middle of the night to pray. Thank goodness they didn't listen to me. Talk about lack of faith. Well, God showed me, didn't he? Thankfully, we did start that prayer meeting, and students did turn up in the middle of the night, including me, and that prayer meeting ended up carrying on for weeks and weeks and weeks. And I guess this side of heaven will never know the impact of the movement of 24/7 prayer, but I do know the impact that those times spent seeking God had on me, and actually on my entire life, because when we spend time with God in prayer, we cannot help but be shaped by him, can we? So this morning we're going to talk about prayer, but I think there's a danger that we overcomplicate it, because prayer is ultimately about our relationship with Jesus. It's about the way we communicate with God. It's about spending time in the presence of the Lord and being intentional about who we listen to and who we spend time with. And ultimately, it's about being friends with God. And it's actually about falling in love with him. Richard Foster says, real prayer comes from not gritting your teeth, but from falling in love. And Psalm 25 verse 14 says, the friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenants. As we think about prayer this morning, I want us to think about it in the context of friendship with God. It blows me away that the God of the universe longs for us to have deep friendship with him. That we were created for deep friendship with God. Why don't we just stand for a minute, just to kind of get off our seats, get into a different mindset. And why don't two or three of us just pray and ask God right now to draw us closer to him through friendship with him. Okay?
Lord Jesus, today we want to grow closer to you as we learn about how we talk to you in prayer.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord, I pray you'll take away all those things that we've maybe put in place of prayer that hinder us just coming and being in your presence and being still and knowing that you're God.
I thank you that you're a God that inclines your ear to us, but when we talk to you, you listen. When we talk to you, you love it. You love us just to hang out with you. And I pray, Lord, that is what we would catch some of.
Yes, Lord, we long to know you deeper. We long to walk with you more closely. God, will you come and transform our hearts? I know that a bunch of words that I've prepared are not really going to do anything, but it's your spirit that moves us. And God, we know that you long for us to walk closer with you. So I invite you, God, to come and work in our hearts as we think about this stuff now. Amen. Amen. We all have different kinds of relationships in our lives, don't we? You know, there's the people on your street or at the supermarket, familiar faces in your community that you might say hello to, but you never actually have a conversation with. And there's your colleague maybe at work, so someone you might have a little bit of banter with, but you're not actually going to really share the deep things of your life with them. And then there might be people in your life who you do share stuff with, you do get vulnerable with, but then there's real deep friendships are the people in our lives who we love spending time with, and the best kind of friendships are those with people who make us feel most alive, aren't they? You know, we have these different kinds of relationships. Now, before we get into this, I just want you to turn to the people on your table and just tell them about your best friend. Who is it? Who are the people in your life that you communicate with the most? Who is it that you ring regularly or speak to regularly? And do you tell them everything? Are they the people that you will tell everything to? And do you hold anything back? Are you the kind of person that actually will only share like the deepest things with like one or two people, or nobody? Are you able to be completely yourself with those people? Do they know the good, the bad, and the ugly about you? So you've got 2 minutes. Just tell each other about who those people are in your life and what kind of relationship you have with them. Okay, so we all communicate in different ways, don't we? Some of us will share anything and everything. I'm one of those people. I'm a little bit of an oversharer. And some of us talk so much that we don't let the other people in our lives get a word in edgeways. I like to think that me and my husband are really good at asking people questions about themselves. And sometimes we'll have people over and then they come and they stay and then they go and we think, flipping heck, they didn't ask us a single question about us. And it's funny because those people are like, oh, we really love hanging out with you. And you think, you don't know anything about us. But it's funny that people are like that, aren't they? And we're all different. Some of us will share very little about ourselves unless we feel like we can absolutely trust the people that we're talking to. Some of us will share the good stuff. We'll tell them what we've achieved, but we hate being vulnerable. Every relationship we have will be different. In all our human relationships, we're both going to bring some elements of imperfection. There'll be conversations where we might get distracted or get bored or start talking about ourselves or just don't listen. Wrongly or rightly, you know, relationships can be more one-sided than others. But the best kind of friendships are relationships where there's trust, there's mutual enjoyment and desire to spend time with each other, and both leave the conversation feeling encouraged, built up and loved. Isn't that right? The good news is that in our relationship with Jesus, there is only one imperfect person, and that's us. Jesus is completely trustworthy. He's absolutely always has our best in mind. He loves us with a perfect kind of love. The stuff that we've been looking at this morning with John, he's the best person. He accepts us just as we are. He knows our ugliest sins already. We never have to prove ourselves to him. We always have his full attention. He understands us more than we understand ourselves. Spending time with him is always the most life-giving choice we can make. Can we just let that truth sink in for a minute? Because we either take it for granted or we don't let it sink in, do we? You are completely loved. You have zero to prove to the creator of the universe. You're just loved. You haven't earned yourself a place in his family because of something that you've done and you've got to keep up. We don't have to impress God. We can't earn his love. The relationship with him is not like a colleague working for a boss where, you know, you've got to do your best and then you get your boss's kind of, then your boss will value you. It doesn't work like that. No, he loves us because he loves us because he loves us. He's the best friend we could ever have. What has this got to do with prayer, though? Because, you know, it's so important that we let this truth sink in, because it will impact the way that we relate to God and the way that we pray. Because if we're praying out of duty, because that's the thing that you're supposed to do, it is a completely different way of praying to a friend who loves you and has accepted you and has forgiven your sin. Now, I think you all got sent a sheet that I did in advance for you. If you turn to the first kind of box on that sheet, I'll read out the questions anyway. I just want you on your own for a few minutes to think about these questions. Just think about and be honest with yourself and with God. What is your personal relationship with God looking like right now? How much energy and effort are you putting into your relationship with God? What's God been doing in you lately? What's he been speaking to you about? What's he been challenging you about? Is your love for him growing? Is your love for other people growing? Where would you like your friendship with God to be this time next year? So just on your own, have an honest think about that. And you know, you might want to write notes, or you might just want to pray and talk to God about it. So I'm going to give you a bit of space for that now. To draw your conversations to a close again, we are going to make some time in the second half of this section to do some praying. So you know, this stuff is something we can bring before God. So we will come back to it. I hope you've all been able to have those honest conversations with God, though, because I think we probably all would love to walk closer with Jesus, wouldn't we? I know that for me, recently, I've actually really struggled to pray, and I don't know what it is, but, you know, I've just found it really difficult, and I've needed to pray with other people to help me to pray. And I think we just go through seasons where it feels easier and seasons where it feels harder, and I don't really know why. But why is it that often when we consider praying, a million things fill our minds and distract us from talking to God? Suddenly we think, oh, I really need to fill the dishwasher or the washing machine, or I'll just do that thing. That is crazy how it happens. Sometimes when I'm praying, before I even realise it, I've picked up my phone and I'm scrolling through Instagram. Like, how does that happen? You know, and I know the sure way to fall asleep at night is to start praying. Like, it's bonkers. And why is it that prayer meetings are often the least attended meeting in the church? Why? We're meeting with God. Like, why does that feel so hard? It's so strange. Why is it when we start talking about prayer, we immediately are filled with guilt about not being good enough? Why does that happen? You know, there is absolutely a spiritual dynamic to prayer. The enemy doesn't want us to spend time with him. He doesn't want God to be our priority. He knows that us spending time in the presence of God is transformational, not just for us, but for the world around us. He would much rather us be busy than pray. And so often, because we're human, we need reminding what is good for us, don't we? We need to speak that truth to our hearts. I know that doing regular exercise is good for me, but do I want to do it? No way. I know that eating healthy food is good for me. Would I rather have fries sometimes? Yes. You know, I know that spending time with Jesus is going to do my heart and my soul so much good, but instead I so often choose to spend time scrolling through my phone or watching rubbish TV. And even when I do pray, I get distracted ridiculously easily. This week I met with a friend to walk and pray, and I almost cancelled on her because I was so busy. I mean, I had this talk to prepare for, but the irony that I might cancel on about praying because I was doing a talk on prayer. And then on the morning that we did meet up to go for a walk, my friend shared with me how just before she left to meet up with me, something happened, and she was just filled with like fury and anger about this thing that had happened, and it had massively stressed her out. And she said as she was walking to meet me even, she was like shaking with frustration, like ready to tell me all about it and go, this happened, Lizzie, you know, can you believe it? And I'd have probably gone, oh, that's terrible, you know. But then, because she is far more godly than I am, she was like, no enemy, I rebuke you. I'm not gonna let this thing that's happened steal my joy. I'm not gonna let this thing that's happened lead me to have a moan and a gossip with my friend about whatever it was. And we didn't, and she told me about it, but she didn't tell me what the thing was. And Instead, though, we were able to offer this time, this short amount of time that we had with each other, to God and say, God, we recognize that already the enemy doesn't want us to pray. Already he'd much rather us moan about something than bring, you know, bring glory to you and worship you. The enemy doesn't want us to pray. Ephesians 6, 10 to 11 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Even after walking alongside Jesus for weeks and months, after seeing him do the most incredible miracles, after watching the way he challenged hypocrisy but loved the sinner, even his disciples, those who actually hung out with him in person, fell asleep when they should have been praying. But the good news is that the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1, 3 to 4, that his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. God has given us everything we need for a godly life. We have been given everything we need to enjoy a relationship with Jesus. We may feel completely inadequate, but remember, he is perfect and has done everything so that we can enjoy a relationship with him. So, with this in mind, we are going to think about four very simple practices that will help us, I believe, grow in our friendship with God. And we're going to base this on the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. And because this is a theology course, I'm going to read to you from my favourite paraphrase Bible, which is deeply theological, the Jesus Storybook Bible. Okay, this is from Matthew 6, if you want to try and follow it. It's called How to Pray. I'll show you the picture there. In those days, there were some extra super holy people, at least that's what they thought, and they were called Pharisees. Every day they would stand out there in the middle of the street and pray out loud in big, extra super holy voices. They really weren't praying so much as just showing off. They used lots of special words that were so clever, no one understood what they meant. People walking by would stop and stare, which might sound rude, except that's exactly what the extra super holy people wanted. They wanted everyone to say, look at them, they're so holy. God must love those people best. Now, you and I both know they were wrong. God doesn't just love holy people, but the people walking by weren't so sure. Perhaps you did have to be really clever or good or important for God to love you. Perhaps you had to know lots of difficult, clever words to speak to God. So one day, Jesus taught the people how to pray. There they are. He said, when you pray, don't pray like those extra super holy people. They think if they say lots of words, God will hear them. But it's not because you're so clever or good or so important that God will listen to you. God listens to you because he loves you. Did you know that God is always listening to you? Did you know that God can hear the quietest whisper deep inside your heart even before you've said it? Because God knows exactly what you need even before you ask him, Jesus told them. You see, God just can't wait to give you all that you need. So you don't need to use long words or special words. You don't have to use a special voice. We do that, don't we? We have a special voice when we pray sometimes. You just have to talk. So when you pray, pray in your normal voice, just like when you're talking to someone you love very much, like this. Hello, Daddy. We want to know you and be close to you. Please show us how. Make everything in the world right again and in our hearts too. Do what is best, just like you do in heaven, and please do it down here too. Please give us everything we need today. Forgive us for doing wrong, for hurting you. Forgive us just as we forgive other people when they hurt us. Rescue us, we need you. We don't want to keep running away and hiding from you. Keep us safe from our enemies. You're strong, God. You can do whatever you want. You are in charge. Now and forever and for always. We think you're great. Amen. Yes, we do. You see, Jesus was showing people that God would always love them, with a never stopping, never giving up, unbreakable, always and forever love. So they didn't need to hide anymore or be afraid or ashamed. They could stop running away from God and they could run to Him instead, as a little child runs into her daddy's arms. Isn't it great? It's brilliant. So, firstly, we need to choose Jesus. Relationships don't just happen by accident. They take time. They take us being intentional, and our friendship with Jesus is exactly the same. If we prioritize our friendship with Jesus, it will change us, and we will increasingly want to spend more time with Him. With our busy lives, sometimes we can feel that it's impossible to find time. But the truth is, we constantly prioritise the things that we love and need. For example, I always go to bed, and it's an extremely rare occasion that I miss a meal. I have a shower every day, and I don't want to tell you how much time I spend looking at a small screen. I make time for the things that I want to do and the things that are good for me. The truth is, I even make time for the things that aren't good for me. Every small choice to choose Jesus changes us. We need to choose Jesus for our survival. Bible says, man doesn't live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus is as important, more important than your next meal. But so often we just think that Jesus is just this add-on that we can add to our lives when we're struggling in some way. We need Jesus for everything, don't we? We have this open invitation into the heart of God. Let me read to you a beautiful quote from Richard Foster. He is inviting me and you to come home to where we belong, to come home to that which we were created for. His arms are stretched out wide to receive us. His heart is enlarged to take us in. For too long, we've been in a far country, a country of noise and hurry and crowds, a country of climb and push and shove, a country of frustration and fear and intimidation. And He welcomes us home. Home to serenity and peace and joy. We need not be shy. He invites us into the living room of His heart, where we can put on old slippers and share freely. He invites us into the kitchen of friendship, the dining room of His strength, where we can feast to our heart's delights. He invites us into the study of wisdom, where we can learn and grow and stretch and ask all the questions that we have. He invites us into the workshop of creativity, where we can be co-laborers with Him, working together to determine the outcome of events. He invites us into the bedroom of His rest, where new peace is found and where we can be naked and vulnerable and free. It's also the place of deepest intimacy where we know and are known to the fullest. We are called into an extraordinarily personal relationship with Jesus. Many years ago, I was invited to the home of a lady who's known Jesus for many, many years, and I didn't really know her or her family very well. So I felt slightly awkward when not long after I arrived, she handed me a cup of tea, and then she said to me that she just needed to go and spend some time with Jesus. I was like, oh, this is a bit awkward. But, you know, like that does feel odd to us, doesn't it? But actually, she was prioritising her time with Jesus over her visitor, which is actually the right thing to do, isn't it, if you think about it? But it's the oddest thing that we can imagine. Her relationship was the most important thing to her. How often do we let the thing right in front of us, or the person, or the situation, or the circumstance get in the way of us meeting with the person that we actually need the most? The boys in my house, or the men in my house, are all big Nottingham Forest fans. And this year, Forest went into the Premier League. And although it looks like they're potentially going to be relegated very soon, I have watched with great joy my boys grow in their love for the team and for football. It's been really fascinating to observe. I've even found myself getting quite excited at the games. This year they've spent more money on kit than ever before. One of my boys even got a Nottingham Forest like ring that he wears on his finger. Would you even think that would exist? But one of the absolute highlights of the year was a few weeks ago when we were back in Nottingham and visiting the in-laws, and the boys did their usual trip to the Forest merchandise shop. And as they were coming out, who should they meet but the manager himself, Steve Cooper. I know that you'll all know his name. Of course, they got a photo with him, and they went on to spend the entire afternoon and most of the next day talking about their encounter with Steve Cooper. And who is actually the most ordinary man that you could ever meet. But the men, and you know, generations of men, there was grandpa and there was my husband and then our children, were all, they just couldn't stop talking about what happened when we met Steve Cooper. And the truth is, the more they've invested in Nottingham Forest, the more their love for the team and the game has grown. My boys never really were bothered about football when they were little. They didn't go to clubs. But as well as watching the game, they're now enjoying playing the game. Like many evenings already this year have been spent over the park or in the garden kicking a football around. The more we invest, the more we will grow in our love for Jesus, and the more we will want to spend time with him. Okay, what we're going to do now is in your table groups, I'm going to give you some Bible verses to look up. And I just want you to look up these verses and answer the very simple question: what do these verses tell us about our relationship with God? So how about we say the first three tables here, if you look up Matthew 6, 25 to 33, okay? And then table at the back and table at the front here, if you look up Matthew 22, 37 to 40, and then the two tables at the back, you look up Colossians 3, 15 to 17. You don't have to all work together with all the tables, but just work within your own tables. So the question is, what do these verses tell us about our relationship with God? Okay, do you feel like you've had enough time? Or need a little bit longer? One more minute. When we look at the Lord's Prayer, it starts, doesn't it, with worship. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. It starts with worship. And I think that's how God wants us to pray. And for me, this is something that I'm on a real journey with. On a Saturday morning in our church, there's a small group of us that pray together on Zoom. And the ladies who I'm praying with are so full of worship that we spend the first half of the time together just like praising God. And I think that's been something that's been quite new to me, but it's so important. And I think that's how God wants us to pray.